covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Man, is it too early to say that felt like a playoff game? Is it a little jump in the gun to say, like, that was nervy and that was exciting and that was everything you'd want out of a game in October, aside from the results, of course? As the Brewers fall today by a final of 3-2 to the Braves, they had a chance in both the eighth, not they had a chance in the third. They had chances after chance after chance, which is the story of today's game, like it was the story of Thursday's loss, too. In that game, the Brewers were just 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Tonight, they go just 2-for-11, both the hits provided by Bryce Terang. One of them didn't even leave the infield, and nonetheless, they fall in a Jacob Mizorowski quality start. They fall 3-2 to Atlanta. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. If you want to call in, if you want to hang out with us tonight. Augie, I mean, is it too soon to say that? I mean, these are two high-quality teams that played a high-quality game. The Eli White game, my goodness. I just thought this was just clean, great baseball.
It really was. You look at the game, you look at the score, you look at two really good ball teams. They're some of the best teams in the National League, and you go out and you have two very well-pitched games by both teams, and it comes down to some special plays, and I still can't believe how Baldwin held on to that ball. Perfect throw from Eli White, but when you have games like this, there's always special plays that make the difference. I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any more special than in the play that the Braves made in the ninth inning with Eli White throwing out Cheerio at home to Baldwin. No big difference.
In a reminder, Eli White tonight at the plate, 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, but he kept 2 runs off the board with the great running catch and a deep left field corner off Yelly's bat. And we'll talk about Joey not being able to move the runner over. I understand. But Eli White made a great play in the corner, then makes a perfect throw to the plate. Now, it begs the question, Augie, and I'm in the boat saying 100 times out of 100 times, I am sending Jackson Cheerio in that situation. It is not even a second thought for me to not send Jackson Cheerio, because if that ball is a foot right or left, Cheerio is safe. It took a perfect throw to get him, a la Blake Perkins throwing out Starling Marte last year against the Mets, right? I think you absolutely 100% have to send him 100 out of 100 times. The big leaguer made the play. That's the best way that I can describe it.
Well, you make him make a perfect play. And I tell you, especially you got great speed on the bases, the ball was hit. Sure, you had a great break on the ball, and you have to throw him on that. There's nothing wrong. You look at what was sending the runner there in that situation. You have to send him. It was just a great play, a perfect play, and that's the only way you get him out, is in a perfect play. But well played by White. He got it right. He came to the ball, got on top of it, made a perfect throw at the Baldwin, and Cheerio slid right into the tag. There's nothing you can do about it. Perfect plays. But when you see teams like the Braves and the Brewers, why are they such a good team? It's not only the offensive side and the pitching, it's that defensive side. And I'll tell you what, that was a pretty special play by the Braves in the ninth inning.
He was tremendous. That was a perfect throw. 95 out of his hand, made it to the plate to get the out. And then, of course, the opportunity for the Brewers in the eighth inning, a two-out rally that formed out of nowhere against Robert Suarez, who's only allowed 2 runs all season in over 30 innings so far this year. And with the bases loaded after a great pinch hit at bat by Jake Bowers, from 0-2 to 3-2, he draws the walk. They go to Sal Frelick off the bench. He worked a great at-bat, but ultimately, the box score is going to say a 1-3 ground out. That's not fair to, he hit that ball hard. It hit off of Suarez's leg. It would have been bound for the middle and scored maybe a run, maybe two. But again, a two-out rally against Suarez every day leads to the next, right, Augie, in that they make Suarez sweat. They make Iglesias sweat. It could lead to the rest of this weekend series. But I think right now, to see the Brewers feel like they're in games and haven't these last two nights been able to get over the mountaintop like they did a couple of weeks ago, there's nothing to be alarmed about, but it's just, hey, the good teams play good baseball, and the Braves just played a little bit better baseball than the Brewers tonight.
Yeah, it was. It's just that case where they made some great plays when they had to, you know. The Brewers today, they swung the bat good. Yeah, if you look at the 11 guys left on base and the 2-for-11, but I'll tell you, there's some, the Brewers hit some atom balls right at guys. Sal hit the ball right back up to the middle. It's exactly what you do. Put the ball and play right back up the middle. But a special play by the pitcher that hit him, and you get the guy out. Those things happen. But, you know, it's really the positive thing about today was I really believe that is Miz pitched real well. But the offense, they hit the ball. They hit the ball hard. Ball went right at him. It was one of those Adam days where the ball goes right at somebody. And yet in the late parts of the game, they had the opportunity to tie it and even to win it.
I think the other thought, too, of the reason they went to Sal in that situation is they were looking for contact, right? Cooper's still learning.
That's right.
High velocity. There's just not high velocity in AAA. And when you got 98, 99 coming at you, swinging and missing, that's going to be a different story. I think Sal's seen that plenty in his career, and obviously he hit the ball hard. It didn't work out. Cooper will get those opportunities one day, and it's one of those because Sal is – had a struggle to the start of this season. I think a lot of folks are thinking, why not just let Cooper go for it? I think the percentages there tell you you're going for contact. And I know Suarez has really good numbers against lefties. Suarez has really good numbers, period. So you're just trying to look for one small edge that you can create to say, if there's contact here, maybe it can find a hole. And the Brewers are doing that all night long. I'm fine with that pinch hit opportunity for Sal Frelick. I understand it's frustrating to not come through. But I thought the moment the Brewers really didn't play Brewers baseball was Joey Ortiz's at bat in the seventh inning. And Joey's been, again, he's been slowly showing signs of life, but there's an opportunity. You have a 2-0 count and a runner on second base after you got a gift of a stolen base for Cooper. You got to get that guy to third, and he ends up striking out, failing to make contact, not even having the bunt sign on again either, which I thought was a little surprising. But Joey not being able to get that guy to third, then Yelly's deep fly to left. Now, he might have been pitched differently, of course, but the situational at-bats weren't greater. Contreras doubling off on the line drive by Vaughn in the sixth inning. Contreras took too big of a step, realizing right where the shortstop was. Just two little things that in a one-run game come back to bite.
Yeah, it is. You get those, and that's what it is when you got two really good ball teams. You go out there, it's the little things that make a difference. And you said the thing with Contreras just leaning a little bit too much, enjoy striking out, not getting a run over. Those are the key times of ball game. Do you do it all the time? No. But those are key parts of a ball game. When you're playing someone well, you have to get the job done in those situations. And tonight, the Braves were able to get the job done, and the Brewers weren't. But two really good teams playing a really good ball game that was well pitched, and it just turned out it was in the favor of the Braves tonight.
Yeah, and we got to talk about the pitching, of course, because, well, Jacob Mizrowski pitched tonight. We haven't really mentioned him at all because he gets a tough luck loss on a quality start. Brewers fall today 3-2 to the Braves in the opener of the weekend three-game series. Back with more in a moment on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 3-2. Miz was good, but gets saddled with a loss. Let's talk about who's hot, who's cold. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Well, Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home. With short and long-term financing options, call or visit Sider.com today. Families helping families since 1912. That's Sider.com. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts that have come in here as well. Alex from Oshkosh, struggle again with runners in scoring position. Bounce back tomorrow. Doug chiming in, hey, let Pratt hit. See what he can do in the clutch. Show some confidence in him. That's why he brought him up. And Churios should have stayed at third, stopped the momentum. I disagree. Who knows? There is no guarantee Contreras was going to get a hit the next time up. In fact, he was 0-for-4 in his career against Iglesias. He punched out to end the game. When you had an opportunity against one of the best closers in baseball to tie the game, you had to take it. That's just how I feel about that one. Now, for Miz today, a mixed bag because six strong gave up two runs on the two-run, two-strike, two-out single by Mauricio Dubon. He has got a knack for the clutch for Atlanta. It was the longest inning of his season pitch count-wise for Miz in that sixth. So, Augie, let's start there. The inning began with a nine-hole infield single by Jorge Mateo flying up the line with a two-strike count. I mean, it's the equivalent of, you know, the nine-hitter reaching is like a leadoff walk, but, you know, with his speed and what the Braves are able to do with the rest of the top of that order third time through, just felt like Miz just lacked the finish that he needed to get through that sixth for some reason.
Yeah, you got to give Mateo credit. I mean, he's one of the fastest players in all of baseball. Just put what he was there just trying to put the ball in play, and he did that, and he was able to beat it out. I think Albies made a really nice swing on the ball, got the ball through. But I thought the key part of that whole inning was Olson's walk. I fought out some good, tough pitches. It looked like Miz was really trying to make some good pitches to get him out, and he ended up walking him. And I thought that was a key. And then Dubon, he just got a ball up over the middle plate. I think if there's one pitch in that inning that Miz would like to take over, it was the fastball he threw to Dubon. He got it up over the middle plate. I think you want to get that ball down and away or up a little bit higher, make it a little bit harder from the handle. But Dubon comes up with a big hit. But the Olson walk was a huge, huge part of that inning with that at bat and him being able to fight off some really tough pitches with Miz and get that base on balls. That was big in that inning.
Yeah, you led me to my next point. I mean, the walk, you never complain about walking Matt Olson, right? I'm trying to choose my words properly here because, again, this is one of the best hitters in baseball. Arguably is on a Hall of Fame track right now. It's kind of too early to tell, but it might not be, quite frankly. Matt Olson's been one of the best first basemen in the game for a while. But the reason why you can sit here and be a little frustrated and sit to yourself and go, what if? Because with one out and runners on first and third, you know, you're pitching for the strikeout there. Olson is going to elevate the baseball if he puts it in play. And he had him 0-2, Augie, and he ultimately walks him on 9 pitches. That was the at-bat that I thought took the wind out of the sails, that just those extra, let's say, 5 pitches that he had to throw is just 5 more pitches and more fatigue on a muggy, humid night. I wouldn't say it was super hot in Atlanta, but it was muggy. You could see the sweat for Miz coming through the cap. I mean, it's just more stressful leverage pitches for a guy that's a max effort pitcher. And I'm not complaining about any of that. I'm not complaining that he gave up 2 runs in 6 innings of work against one of the best teams in baseball. But the matter, the little things that came up to bite the Brewers today, and that was one of them for Miz, ahead of Olson 0-2 and ultimately walking him, is where I think this really started to unravel for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when you go from an 0-2 to an 8-pitch walk, and you look at what Olson was. Olson's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. I think he's having one of the best months of anybody in baseball right now. He's a tough out. He's going to put the ball in play, and the one thing he wants, looking there, he was just wanting to fight the ball, fight the pitches off, find something he could handle and put the ball in play and have the opportunity to score a run and take the lead. So it's just a great at-bat by Olson, and I agree with you. I think when you go to an 8-pitch at-bat, right there, he comes up against Dubon. Dubon, he's got in a good spot, and he just makes a pitch. Just probably, if there's a pitch, I still think that if he would want to take back one pitch, that fastball up a little bit to Dubon was not quite in the location that he wanted to, and Dubon did what he was supposed to do and got a base hit, and they were able to score the 2 runs.
Yeah, if you watch William on that, his target was set up and away, then pitch missed on the inside corner, and Dubon pulls it through the left side. Just to give the numbers, I mean, they're actually kind of ridiculous for Dubon, including tonight. With the bases empty, he's hitting .212 with a .580 OPS. But with runners in scoring position and 2 outs, he's hitting .375 with an OPS over 1,100. I mean, he just has a knack for the clutch moment. Former Brewers prospect and player, of course, as well. And with 2 strikes, he turns and burns on a base hit in the left field. And you know what? You tip your cap. That's why we play the games. That's why you don't simulate the game. This was a game, Augie, to me, that just made me love baseball. Because you got Martin Perez over on the other side, the wily vet, the crafty lefty, whatever cliche you want to use, not crossing 89 miles an hour and keeping the Brewers off balance all night. Now, Miz was doing great as well. He was just overpowering the Braves for the most part of tonight's game. But 2 extremely different styles, both finding success in the big leagues because there isn't just one way to do it. And I just loved the way this game was played. Just as a baseball sicko, as somebody that covers the Brewers and likes it to talk about it when they win, of course this is a frustrating night. But as somebody that, you know, just loves the game, this is a game that is just like, gosh, this dude's throwing 104, and he's getting out-dueled by Perez, and no one, like, what can he say? That's baseball.
Yeah, he's a wily veteran, I'll tell you. He did such a great job, though, locating that fastball. You know, we can talk about velocity all we want with some guys, but he's a veteran that understands where to put the fastball when he needs it, and he did it with that right around 90-mile-an-hour fastball, but he used his other pitches really effectively. He had the good changeup. He used to break a ball when he needed to. He located the ball. He kept the Brewer hitters off stride and didn't pitch from behind, and I think what he understood, he understood that this is a good, aggressive team, and he had a pitch ahead. And I think that's one thing he did all night, and that was you got to credit him because that was really the key for him being as successful as he was. Pitching ahead, locating that fastball where he needed to, he did a great job.
I think that the Brewers understand tonight that it's not just on Miz. We haven't even mentioned Uribe giving up a leadoff homer to Mike Yastrzemski, which made this a 3-1 ball game instead of a 2-1 ball game. And look at that. Brewer scored two runs. Who knows what those last two innings could have done. Miss with the heater up. No matter how cold of a player like Yastrzemski was coming into this series, you leave a sinker up, it is going to get punished in the big leagues, and that one didn't come back for Uribe.
Well, I think you're looking at Yastrzemski. They say he was hitting in the 130 area for the last 25, 26 at-bats, and he was just up there looking for a ball he could handle. Got a ball up, and like you just said, you get that ball up in the zone, it's not high enough or doesn't have the velocity that you wanted it. They're going to put that in play, and Yaz got the ball he wanted and knocked the ball out of the ballpark for the third run and his fourth home run of the season.
Yeah, and it turned out to be the difference of this ball game. Otherwise, though, a lot to like for Miz. Again, six strong innings. It's still a quality start. Yes, he gets the loss. Six innings, five hits, two runs, just one walk, the one walk to Olsen. Seven strikeouts because the Braves were super aggressive against him. Still a ton of strikes, 91 pitches, 65 strikes. His next start will be against the Chicago Cubs next Friday night back at home. So pack the house. Make sure you don't sell your tickets, Brewers fans. And by the way, while you're at it, go vote for Bryce Terain to be an all-star. Let's make sure. Go vote right now. If you haven't done your five votes for the day, go do it right now. Do it in the break. We'll be back with more in a moment right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. A little buy or sell. Brought to you by Tony Windorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Windorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WindorfTeam.kw.com. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Hey, two playoff-bound teams most likely matched up, and it was a one-run game. There's no reason to get overworked about a game like this tonight. Yeah, you're facing a great pitcher tomorrow in Chris Sale. Well, the last time he faced a great lefty like this, Christopher Sanchez, he tagged him for four runs, and he shut out the Phils, all right? That's why we play the games, okay? So one thing that I'm buying right now for the Brewers is that it's very clear. Again, we talked about this over the weekend after they had beat the Phillies, but Augie, the Braves and the Brewers are very evenly matched, right? I think they both can hit homers. They don't necessarily rely on the home run ball. Neither one of them strike out a whole lot. They work counts very well. Granted, the Braves struck out 10 times tonight. Miz had something to do with it. But again, as these games matter because of tiebreakers and because of racing for who's going to be the two or the three seed, because look, the Dodgers are probably going to be the one seed. Let's all be honest with ourselves here. But as every game matters, I know, to get that bye, which everybody hopes to happen, the fact that the Brewers are within a one-run game and they didn't play their best against the Braves, to me, I'm buying it. I'm encouraged that there's still a chance to win this series, and they'll have to do it in a difficult fashion against Chris Sale and Bryce Elder over the weekend.
Yeah, you look at tonight's game, and you look at, they didn't score early in the ball game, but you get into that eighth and ninth inning, had opportunities. Sal comes up and hits the ball up the middle, but unfortunately hits the pitcher, and they weren't able to score a run. That probably could have tied the game or put them ahead. And then the ninth inning, they come up and Yelly get the walk, and Chirio getting the double down, and then he had the great plays. Just a very well-played game by both teams. And, you know, when you get championship teams or you get teams that are just in playoffs, you get that style of baseball. And we got that all around today. You know, Bruce did a nice job. They left 11 men on base. They were 2-for-11 runners scoring position, but they put the ball in play. And I think that's a real something positive. 11 hits tonight was special, putting the ball in play and not striking out a lot. I thought they did a nice job. And just a little bit short in that eighth and ninth inning, a big break with a base hit there could have changed the whole game. And could we be talking a different thing about a nice Brewers win?
Yeah, and I think that the way that I look at it right now, and the other thing that I will continue to beat the drum on when it comes to trade deadline talk and how every national media man wants to, you know, give the Brewers Tarek Skubal right now. And I will reiterate this over and over and over again. The Brewers need a right-handed bat. They need a right-handed bat because, yes, they have a good record against left-handed pitching. It just kind of masks what they've been going through right now. They need, you know, a little bit more out of the right-handed side of their lineup because they're very left-handed. Garrett Mitchell continues to hit the ball hard. Turang had a couple of hits today. Yelich has been hot and cold. He hit the ball hard a couple of times today. Didn't have much to show for it. He's been in a weird stretch right now. But, I mean, that's three everyday caliber players that are left-handed, and I didn't even mention Jake Bowers. That's four everyday left-handed hitters that they are going to be neutralized by lefties. So I am looking around. I don't know what's available at this point because there's not a lot of bats available at this trade deadline, but the Brewers are a team that are going to need some help from the right side if they're going to be successful moving into October.
I agree with you. I think if there's any part of the game that they could use just a little bit of punch, a little bit of guy coming off the bench or can get in and play some at certain positions, they can pick up that can add a little bit of power to their lineup. I agree. I think the right side of the batter's box would be a great place to pick up somebody. You look at what they have now. It's nice to see Garrett Mitchell's really swinging the bat well. Vaughn is just out of this world facing left-hand hitters. But they could really use someone else besides him and Chirio, Chirio and Contreras to really solidify this line and make it a real lineup that's really something for every team. That when you come in, you're going to be facing a good lineup 1-9. And I'll tell you what, they're going to have the ability to not only hit the ball in the ballpark, but put runners on base and score. And I think a right-handed hitter would be something that they could really use.
That's what I just keep looking around for, because as the picture becomes clearer moving forward, who is actually going to be selling, who's actually going to make guys available moving forward, because the entire American League is so bad that everybody still feels like they're in it right now. I mean, Detroit won again today against the White Sox, and Detroit blew a 15-game lead over the Guardians last year and, you know, ultimately beat them in the playoffs, I know, but there's no reason to say that with Skubal back and Mize back and Framber Valdez and McGonigal and the stars that they have, there's no reason for them to trade this early in the season. So let's just play it out by ear and figure out who's going to be selling. But the other thing about today's game is just to shake it off and move on. But I look at one little silver lining about today's game is that back-to-back games at Craig Yoho's look confident, looked like a different Craig Yoho than we saw at the end of last season. A scoreless inning with a strikeout, a double by Dom Smith. He's done that before. It's no big deal. He threw on back-to-back, so he's probably not going to throw it tomorrow. But key rest for the middle leverage guys of this bullpen. I'm just monitoring what this extended stint could be for Craig Yoho moving forward.
Yeah, he's shooting the ball very well. I tell you, the one thing I really like compared to when he was up last time, his aggressiveness in the strike zone. It looks like he's pitching with a lot more confidence, saying that, you know what, I'm going to come right at you with my best stuff. I'm going to throw my changeup when I need to. He's got that great changeup, but I'm also going to locate my fastball. He had a nice fastball, comeback fastball for a strikeout tonight. Looking much better, and you can see the confidence. You see these guys that come up and they struggle a little bit, they go down, they're able to get their work in. To come back and see him pitch with confidence, and the confidence that can really help this ball club is so important. Yoho's throwing the ball really good the last couple times out.
Yeah, so just something to put your smile on. Okay, Yoho changeup, still a really good pitch, but they'll shake it off. They get the difficult task of Chris Sale tomorrow, but the Brewers got Kyle Harrison on the mound, another lefty that I know you love to watch, Augie.
It's just, I think tomorrow's going to be a great matchup. You got two very good pitchers. Chris Sale, the veteran, he just comes in. He's just so knowledgeable, and it's going to be fun to watch him pitch a lot like Perez did tonight. And you're going up against Harrison, who's just been dynamite. So tomorrow, a really good matchup with two very good teams. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yep. All right, Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. Appreciate you all. As always, Augie, day game tomorrow. Get your rest. We're back at it tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We will be back with more. Take a quick lap around the league. We'll hear from Murph, get some highlights. Go for another 30 minutes or so right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Over on the chat line, Tom chiming in. Casey Schmidt would be a fit. I don't know. Utility, sure. Play all over the place. I've been enamored with Nolan Arenado for some reason. also because I was looking at the contract today, you don't owe a lot on next year because the Cardinals pay the Diamondbacks a lot to pay down that deal, so you would inherit that as well. It's only a $6 million commitment to Arenado next year, but granted, Arenado's offense has been pretty blah this year. 235 average, a 702 OPS, better than it was the season ago in St. Louis. 8 homers, 12 doubles. How's he doing against lefties? Let's see here. Arenado against lefties, 206, 641. All right, we'll move on that. Let's look at Casey Schmidt while we're at it here. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. We're going until about 10:15 here this evening. We'll hear from Murph in a little while longer. I mean, the Giants are certainly going to be under a fire sale here soon, but the other thing is, I don't know if they would even make Casey Schmidt available given his versatility and given his team control. I mean, he's not even a free agent until the 2030 season, so it would cost a pretty penny to acquire somebody with that much control. He's been fantastic against left-handed pitching, 355 and a 907 OPS. But again, that's somebody that you want to build around while you tear everything else down around him for the former Aztec out of San Diego State. So something to monitor if the Giants do to make him available at some point this season. Good chat there from Tom. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to 15 grand on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. You know, Bryce had the only two RBIs to the Brewers' offense. Andrew Vaughn had a double, could have had three hits. He had some bad luck on the Adam ball that doubled off William Contreras in the sixth. But, I mean, Miz, even fighting, not really having a secondary pitch tonight, right? He threw 67% four-seamers, 18% cutters, which leaves you to, you know, just 15% of slider, curveballs, and changeups all combined. But he wasn't throwing many strikes with those secondaries. In fact, all seven of his strikeouts came on fastballs. He only had two called strikes with the cutter, two called strikes with the slider, no called strikes with the curveball of the five that he threw. It just felt like he was battling command with the secondaries while also fighting the humidity and how his body was responding to pitching in Atlanta. Nonetheless, there is nothing wrong, again, to reiterate over and over. I see this on social media a lot, and I just don't get it. This is a playoff team. This is a quality team, the Atlanta Braves. When did we start acting like losing a one-run game against the best bullpen in baseball and a very good lefty just because he's throwing 89 miles an hour is the end of the world? With all due respect, this isn't the Angels. Okay, this is a team that is going to be flirting with a first-round bye heading to October. It happens. Calm down. Get some rest. All right? It's not a big deal. Lost a one-run game. They didn't play their best. It happens. That's why you play 162 of them. And tomorrow with Chris Sale against Kyle Harrison, I mean, whew, sign me up for the Southpaws. This will be a fun one tomorrow. Again, we're on the air at 2. It'll be a 3:10 first pitch from Truist Park. On the air at 2 for Brewers warm-up, leading you up to the On Deck Show built by Menards. And then 12:35 on Sunday for a noon airtime in the finale on this Father's Day weekend down in the ATL. Quick lap around the league here. In the division, the Cubs put the hurtin' on the Toronto Blue Jays today. A 7-run first inning off of Kevin Gausman in Toronto. 16-2, the final for Chicago. Carson Kelly was the only homer in the game. It was a grand slam in the first. Then they hit cruise control for the rest of that game. St. Louis, they are trailing on the road, but they're threatening. It's 6-3 Kansas City. In the top of the ninth inning, Alex Lang is trying to close out the game with the tying run at the plate. Blaze Jordan is at the plate. Let's see. I'm watching it live now on MLB TV. It's a foul ball at the plate. We'll do it again. Anyway, moving on. Rockies have a 4-3 lead on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates have failed to get out of neutral right now without O'Neill Cruz dealing with his broken hand right now. Bubba Chandler went strong 6 innings. Only had one strikeout, though. Kyle Freeland worked into the 8th inning in this one for Colorado. And then also today, the Reds, they fell to the Yankees 5-0. They were shut out by the works of Cam Schlittler. 13 punch, no walks for Schlittler. And then the bullpen held it down from there. Homer for Jazz Chisholm Jr. and Ben Rice in that contest. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall today, 3-2. Pat Murphy was short, sweet, to the point today. Miz was solid. Miz said so postgame as well. Put a good swing on it. Tip your cap. They won the game. Yeah, I mean, Miz is pretty short after losses. It's understandable. Only his third loss of the season, if I'm not mistaken here. His ERA went up. Oh, my goodness. It went up to 1.45. What are we going to do? Oh, God. Oh, no. It's over. He still leads baseball in strikeouts, by the way, with 7. Pretty impressive stuff. Anyway, here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's 3-2 loss.
Wasn't working. So we didn't know either way, but why not challenge it? You know what I mean? It was a great throw, great tag, great catch at the plate. Credit those guys for executing that. Churio had a good turn. It was just a great baseball play. Great baseball play on their part. Great comeback for us in the ninth against a really good pitcher. We were kind of snake bit, you know what I mean? Like Felix ball, you know, up the middle at 100 miles an hour, got knocked down by the pitcher. Great play. The catch in left field by Eli. You know, line drive to short. We got doubled off. We had a lot of little things happen tonight that prevented us from capitalizing on some of the offense. And credit to them. Their starter was terrific. He kept us at bay. It was a great ball game. One of the best teams in baseball, and they played well, and they got clutch hits, and we didn't.
Murph, what did you think about the way Miz pitched tonight, and especially that sixth inning battle? And you know,
yeah, he was great. Miz was great. He was dominant. He was fantastic. You know, you're going to give up runs. You're a human. You know, look, go back and look at some of the greats. They all gave up runs. You know, we're kind of shocked when he gives up a run. You know, but he was fantastic. And yeah.
We were talking outside. Do you feel like that Olson at bat and that sixth inning was key?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was a key at bat. Great walk, great hitter. I mean, that guy's a great hitter. Underrated. One of the most underrated players in the league, I think, is Olson from my you know, view from over here. You know, he had a great at bat, which, you know, set up that, you know, hit, but we had chances to win. We were safe at the plate there. We're rolling, and, you know, Sanchez is at first, Felix at third. We're rolling.
Murph, earlier there was a white at bat where it looked like Mizorowski was sort of like reaching back for a little bit more. Right. Do you see him playing with that a little more?
You know, some of these can go get a little extra. You know, it's funny the way he had trouble with the mound tonight and the way he was throwing the ball. That ball was down to right-handers, and usually it's up. You know what I mean? And he gets more strikeouts and things like that. So they were able to put the bat on the ball down low. But still, he was dominant.
I agree. He was dominant. It was a Major League Baseball game when 5 total runs were scored and the teams were combined 3 for 17 with runners in scoring position. And only one of those 3 hits, or 2 of those 3 hits left the infield. Dominant day. One of those days with the pitching staff. Let's relive it. I mean, there's a lot of, again, as a baseball fan, this, if you had no dog in the fight, I'm envious of you because this was just a heck of a game to watch. If you're a Braves fan, you're celebrating. If you're Brewers fans, anyway. Highlights up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
The Miz hits the road as he goes up against Martin Perez, the southpaw, wily vet. He was DFA'd earlier this year. Nobody wanted him. He stuck with the Braves, and boy, are they grateful for that now. This game was scoreless after 1, but the Braves started to mount a threat in the bottom of the 2nd. A leadoff loop single by Dominic Smith was erased on a fielder's choice by Dubon. Then a clean single by Austin Riley suddenly had runners on 1st and 2nd. A ground out by Yaz still had runners in scoring position. The Miz went to Ole Reliable.
1-2 pitch. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with 104. Miz got into a little trouble, took care of it himself.
Well, that would not be the last time we hear from Eli White in this game. No score in the 3rd. A leadoff infield single from Blake Perkins. That came with 2 strikes, too. Remember that for later. Then with 1 out, a single up the middle by Joey Ortiz had runners on 1st and 2nd. after an interesting choice by Walt Weiss to intentionally walk Jackson Churio with two outs to go left on left versus Bryce Turin.
At third is Perkins, Ortiz second, Churio at first in the pitch. Chopped up the middle, tough play. This is going to sneak into shallow center where the shortstop Mateo picks it but has no play, and the Brewers take the lead. Bryce Turin, an infield RBI hit, scores Perkins, and it's 1-0 Milwaukee in the third. Ground ball into a perfect spot.
The Brewers would fail to add on there as William flied out to right field, but they open the scoring 1-0. Then both teams would kind of go quiet in the middle frames. The Brewers left a one-out double stranded in the fourth by Andrew Vaughn. They left the man stranded in the fifth. Then in the sixth, things got interesting. A leadoff walk by William Contreras. A single to right by Garrett Mitchell. All right, here's a threat. First and second, nobody out, but no. Vaughn would line into a double play at short when Contreras took too many steps after his secondary lead made a poor read off the bat. He gets doubled off at second, and the Brewers would fail to score. In the bottom half of that inning, the momentum would shift. It's still just 1-0. Jorge Mateo, a two-strike infield single to lead off the frame. Didn't that sound familiar? Then with one out, a single to right by Ozzie Albies put men on the corners. A marathon at-bat against Matt Olson, 9 pitches long, ultimately walked him. But Miz recovered to strike out Dominic Smith. So now, with the bases still loaded and two outs, Mauricio Dubon, the former Brewer, the last
one. One and two on Dubon. Raises the leg, the pitch, and a liner into left, and coming in is Churio, has to let it drop in front of him. One run is in, Albies around third. Here's the play at the plate, and he is safe. The Braves take a 2-1 lead as Mauricio Dubon with a two-run single here in the sixth.
His OPS is over 1,100 with runners in scoring position in two outs, and he comes through on what could have been still a shutout performance from Miz. So he gets a quality start. Brewers fail to add on in the seventh after a great play by that man again, Eli White.
2-2 again. Fly down the left field line. White over, back into the corner. White makes the lunge, makes a great catch. Oh, my goodness, Eli White. A fair ball right by the chalk and on the warning track. Two out in the seventh on one of the great catches you'll see from a left fielder. How did he catch it? I don't know.
So the Brewers left a man stranded on second in the seventh. They left the bases loaded in the eighth inning, but then a rally formed against Raisel Iglesias, who's converted 32 consecutive saves. With one out, Yelich walked. Churio doubled down the left field line. Stop sign was up for Matt Erickson, rightly so. Bryce Turin was up next with the tying run on second base.
Turin 0 for 2 with a strikeout against Iglesias lifetime. First pitch swinging, a liner into left. That's going to get down for a base hit. Yelich is in. Churio around third. Here's the play at the plate. Churio is out. Baldwin waiting on it on two hops from the left fielder White. Baldwin put the tag on Churio, who went in feet first. Brewers seeing if they want to challenge it. They are going to ask them to put the headsets on. There's no reason not to at this point if you're the Brewers. The ball looked like it beat Churio to the plate. The only question is, did he get under the tag of Baldwin?
And the answer was no. Churio slid feet first. I wonder if he slid head first, if there'd be a chance to swim move out of the way of it. Nonetheless, that was the last opportunity for the Brewers as Contreras would strike out to end the ball game 3-2. Braves had 3 runs on 7 hits, no errors. They still left 5 runners on base, going 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. That's right. The one hit they had with scoring position was Dubon's single in the sixth off Miz. For Milwaukee, 2 runs on 11 hits, no errors. They only had 2 extra base hits, and they went 2-for-11 with Risp. Just 11 runners left on base is going to keep them up tonight. The winner is Perez. The loser is Miz. The save to Iglesias. 40,000, a sellout crowd at Truist Park tonight. We will wrap up the program in a moment, give you some more history from Miz as well, and give you a few more numbers as we briefly preview tomorrow's matchup with Harrison and Sale here on your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ. Last few minutes of the program here. Would also encourage you to go check out in your podcast feed, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast. Yesterday's Brewers Weekly. You should also check that one out on YouTube for the breakdown I did of Jacob Mizorowski, talking about the mechanical tweaks in addition to the weight he has put on his body, the good weight, that is, that he's put on in order to maintain the velocity he has to this point in the year. It's a reminder that last year combined between the minors and the majors and the postseason, in total, he threw just 144 innings a year ago. Now, I'm not saying they're going to completely shut him down a la Steven Strasburg, but he's already at 93 innings right now, and today was start number 15. You imagine your frontline starter gets somewhere between 32 and 34 starts a season, so we're almost at the halfway point here for Miz and being on pace for flirting with the 200-inning season and maybe flirting with a 300-strikeout season. He's still leading baseball at 138 Ks. The numbers, sometimes you just gotta laugh and look at them yourself. He has an 0.75 whip. 0.75 whip. That's remarkable. That's simply incredible. He's only allowed 4 home runs this season. He has 23 walks in 93 innings while throwing 104 miles an hour. Some more history for him as well. Jacob Mizorowski's 1.45 ERA through his first 15 starts is the lowest to start a season in Brewers franchise history in 15 starts. Miz 1.45. Bill Travers in 1976, a 1.79 ERA. And CC Sabathia in 2008, he had a 1.81 in his 15 starts as a Milwaukee Brewer there in that legendary run for the Hall of Famer. In total, though, and I should say 17 total starts for CC, he had a 1.65 ERA. So that should be the number that we're monitoring right now for Jacob Mizorowski. I'll go ahead and pull up the number for 17 starts to start a season for a Brewer. Shout out to Stathead and Baseball Reference. If you don't subscribe, I don't know why you don't if you're not a nerd like me. But hey, it's helps me do my job on both ends. Yep, CC's is the record, 1.65. So that's what we're monitoring in 2 starts from now. If you want to get ahead of yourself here for Miz, next Friday he'll start against the Cubs because the Brewers are projecting Brandon Woodruff to return to the starting rotation against the Cincinnati Reds at some point next week in one of those 3 night games in Cincinnati. So keep an eye on that. Then an off day on Thursday, which is the last off day of the first half for the crew. They'll finish with 17 in a row heading into the All-Star break. But you go Miz next Friday against the Cubs, and then likely Miz the following Thursday, July the 2nd, against the Reds. Skip him against Arizona, and then he probably pitches one of those games in St. Louis, whether it's the doubleheader, remains to be seen. But, with the long series down there in St. Louis with 5 games in 4 days, he's going to pitch in one of those contests in the Lou. And that's how he'll close out his first half, I imagine. And then maybe it sets him up for the All-Star game on the 14th. So that's good news for him. So if you look at it, so that's 3 or more starts in the first half for the Miz to continue his march to history. And again, tomorrow it'll be Kyle Harrison getting the ball. Then Sunday, Robert Gasser. You would imagine that means Brandon Sproat would go on Monday, which leaves a corresponding move to be made for Brandon Woodruff to be activated off the injured list, likely on Tuesday or Wednesday against Cincinnati, unless they want to do a bullpen game at some point in there as well. So the Brewers continue to roll and figure out what they want to do as this long stretch is on the horizon. And yet here we are on June 19th, frustrated about a 1-run loss to a very good Atlanta Braves team. The Brewers are 45-28, the 4th best record now in baseball, but 1 game back of the Yankees. But reminder, the Brewers swept the Yankees back at their place. A 1.15 run differential. It's still better than the Braves, mind you. It's the 2nd best in the National League. The NL Central is still very jammed up right now because the Brewers maintain a 5.5 game lead on the St. Louis Cardinals, who did make it interesting there at the end against Kansas City. 3 runs at the top of the 9th, but KC did hang on to win by a 6-5 final score. But here in the division, it's still a 5.5 game lead over St. Louis, 6.5 game lead over Chicago, already up 3-0 in that season series too. You're down 1-2 in the Pittsburgh season series. You won't see them again until the end of the first half. The final three games of the first half will be in the Berg. And then you're about to face Cincinnati for the first time, and they are starting to fall on hard times without Ellie De La Cruz. They're four games under 500 right now, and they are in that purgatory area that is known as the in-between, where you're not good enough to go out and buy, and you're not bad enough to tear it all down. So no one wants to be stuck in that four games under to two games over range where they currently are right now. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the Brewers would be the team hosting a wild card series as the division winner with the worst record of the three division winners in the NL. They would be hosting, who else? The Chicago Cubs, of course, right? That's how it would be. Well, good thing there's still plenty of season to go. It's jam-packed in the wild card race. St. Louis is up one game on the Cubs, and then right between them, it's Philadelphia in the two spot, a half game back of the top wild card spot. A reminder, the division winner that's in the wild card round faces the last team into the playoffs, and then the top two teams in the playoffs face each other, hosted by the top wild card team. So it'll be St. Louis hosting Philly, Milwaukee hosting Chicago. All right, sound good? That's the postgame show. Again, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Brewers and Braves. First pitch is scheduled for 3:10. We hope to have you on the back patio and whatever you're doing for this Father's Day weekend. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.